This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I am interviewing Amit Matthew. He is the creator of the Chipper app, and we're going to definitely talk about the app and how you can really manage your time, crush your organization, and really, you know, all your goals that you have. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about his journey. He transitioned here as an international student, and he talks about how he started in computer science. Then he changed directions because he didn't do so hot, and then he came back. So I want you to hear this story and learn from it and learn that life is not going to just happen the way that you want, but sometimes it ends up being better. I know that you are going to enjoy this episode, so let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I have with me Amit Matthew, and he is the founder and president of an app called Chipper. And I'm really excited to have you on, so thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first, why don't you just get started, just because this is a podcast all for college students, and I always like to hear people's college journey. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you chose your college, and then just a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so kind of was an interesting story. So I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So I was, although I'm an American citizen now, at the time I was an international student. So I didn't really know much about the different schools, and I actually never visited or anything. The only reason I went is I got into a couple schools, and some friends said, oh, that's a good school. And I was like, okay, I'll go there. So in hindsight, not the recommended strategy, but it worked out. It was a great school. I went in, I think the unusual part, I think maybe somewhat uncommon for college students, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Even since I was a kid, I was always interested in technology. So I thought, okay, I'm going to major in computer science and get a job doing something related to that. But of course, life is not always so simple. So I got in, I started my computer science major, and I had actually taken AP computer science back in high school, and so I actually placed out of a lot of classes, which in hindsight wasn't the best thing. So I went in and I was immediately in these advanced level computer science classes, and I got destroyed the first couple semesters. I was like, wow, this is really, really hard. And for me, I've always been more, although my interest has always been technology, I've always been much more kind of liberal arts person. At least that's where I feel like natural skill set is. And so it was definitely like an uphill battle. And for a while, I thought, you know, this is what I want to do my whole life. And I got to college, and it was really hard because all of a sudden I was like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. And so I actually switched majors for a little bit. I switched to econ, to economics, and did that for a little while, and then got my confidence back and decided I actually ended up double majoring in computer science and economics. And then I graduated at the absolute worst time to graduate in technology, right after the dot-com bust, which I graduated in 2002. So there were no jobs, and I'd say something like probably 80% of the computer science, you know, departments, the graduates, recent graduates said, I'm not staying in this field. I'm going to go to law, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And it's hard to imagine now, especially for the younger folks who are looking at technology jobs now where they're so high in demand. I mean, it was just a much different world in 2002. Nobody could get hired. They're just, the demand wasn't the same. So it was tough. So I ended up, I did some, you know, research at Carnegie Mellon for a year. And then I ended up going to grad school at University of Georgia. From there, I kind of started my career after that.
And when you say started career, the career, is that focused more on entrepreneurship?
No, not immediately. So I was always interested in entrepreneurship, but my other interest was actually in video game development. So much different world, but I ended up doing my grad school research in virtual reality. Another thing, which was totally unpopular, the worst thing to major in. And then 10 years later, it became this huge industry with billion-dollar companies. But
you were ahead of the game.
I was ahead. Yeah. In fact, one of my research projects was, I had these virtual gloves and I'd bat a ball around in virtual reality. And soon, like 2 years after that, Wii Tennis, like the Nintendo Wii, they came out with the tennis game. And I was like, hey, I was doing that before it became a thing. But so I worked in video games for a while. And what was interesting is I actually, I was doing research around this. There wasn't a lot of interest in my area, but I was active with some like online projects, with open source projects. And I really hustled there where I was, I did a little bit, spend some of my time, doing my classes, doing my research, but all my free time I was working on these hobby projects, open source projects. And that actually got me noticed by someone who at the time was living in Georgia. There's a company, Turner Broadcasting Systems, in Atlanta. And they noticed on the little forum where I posted, it said my location. They're like, hey, you're in Georgia and you're doing this stuff. Come interview with us. And so that ended up being my first job.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I have a couple questions that I wanted to follow up on for sure. First off, what was it like for you to come as an international student to the U.S.? I feel like that could be a really hard transition. I work with a lot of international students actually now at the university that I work at, and the transition is really hard. Most of them have never visited. This is their first time even, at the college as well.
Yeah. It was tough in a lot of ways. So when I first came to the U.S., I came for high school and I went to a private New England boarding school, which was culture shock to the max, where I thought I understood. So I grew up in a place that was kind of had American schools and things like that. So I was surrounded by a lot of Americans and expats from all over the world. So I thought I knew the culture. But then I went to New England and I was like, wow, I don't get this culture at all. And now in retrospect, I understand now I get that's not normal for a lot of people anyways, even if you're born here. But then it was, and then I went from there to a very large state school in the South. And that was, again, I felt more, I'd say, comfortable there. But again, it was just kind of another context switch. That was challenging. I think the biggest thing was that although I kind of fit in here, going to American schools and having a lot of American friends, I kind of fit in some ways, socially and culturally. But in a lot of ways, I didn't have the support system having parents that have grown up here. So I didn't understand what kids did and how they did it. And it could be little things from figuring out how to navigate the school system and all that to having a network to get jobs and stuff. It was kind of isolating because I was just in this big school and it kind of felt like by myself. And so there were definitely some challenges and it took me a while, I think, to get on the right track.
Yeah, I can imagine that is really challenging. And then you also talked about how when you were taking all these classes that it was really challenging and that it kind of felt like an uphill battle. So what did you do to get out of that, I guess, mindset? Because you said that you kind of increased your confidence, so you had changed your major. What are some tools or strategies, or was there anything that you kind of remember that you actually did to make that transition?
Yeah, I mean, it took way too long, if I'm being honest, to figure that out. But really, a lot of it, and this isn't just school. I mean, in my life, I feel like it's so much a mental game, and it that sounds kind of trite and stuff. But once you experience it, I look at the difference between myself now and myself back then when I was really didn't have it together. And the only real difference was that I have the confidence now that I didn't have then and the belief that I could do it. And especially what brought me down is when I was growing up, I was a good student. I tended to be top of my class and things like that. And then all of a sudden I get knocked not just down, but way, way down. And then that kind of destroys your confidence. And you don't, if you don't have that framework, and especially like not having the support system and having family like in a different country, and just, I felt kind of lost. And what helped me turn it around, there were a couple of things that happened. One, it seems like such a little thing, but I had one really great, she wasn't even a professor. She was a grad student that was so passionate about teaching. And after I'd taken a break from computer science for a little while, I came back and I took her class. I mean, she had just a completely different philosophy. I mean, there's just such a world of difference between like a professor who's, they teach because they have to, they're really focused on the research and there's just not that passion there. And they fly through all the material versus someone who's like, I don't care if we get through it all, but you know, I just want the stuff we get through, I want you to really learn. And that really worked. And even to this day, that particular course, you know, data structures, I know data structures really well because of her. And we didn't even finish all the material and she actually got into a lot of trouble. And I think in the end, she couldn't teach because of that, because she didn't get, you know, get through all the material. But to me, all that stuff, all that is just crazy. I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter. If it's better to learn 100% of 50% of the course than 50% of 100. And so, yeah, so that helps. I got some of that confidence back there. Taking some, when I switched to economics, I found the coursework, it was still challenging, but it was a lot easier. So, but I could start getting a little bit of confidence, like, oh, I can do well in certain courses and things like that. I also found I did better in the more advanced classes in computer science, just because they were more practical. And like, I realized personally that just like, I'm a very hands-on, practical kind of person, like theory and stuff I wasn't as good at it and it wasn't as interesting to me. And so those kind of things kind of all happened together. And the other weird thing is once I became more active socially, my grades got better. Like I'd be out late with friends a lot more and, you know, I didn't have a healthy sleep schedule, but in the end that it ended up helping me academically, which I wouldn't have expected, you know, like, but I think just having that balanced lifestyle is really, really important.
Yes, I love so much, and I want to like dive into so much, but I want to like be mindful of time. But I think one of the things that I love that you said was that mindset piece and that shift really makes a huge difference. And I see it with my students as well. So I work as kind of like an academic coach, like a life coach for college students, and that mindset of that they don't necessarily believe that they can do it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, let's dive into that, you know. Anyways, but I just think that that's like so important, not only in college, but like you said, like life and right now, like it matters so much to me, mm-hmm. that mindset shift. And then the second thing, you know, you talked about one of your teachers that really stood out to you the most, really focused on learning. And I don't know if you've seen this in the education system now, but a lot of my students have a hard time because they don't feel like they're actually learning in class, or they feel like it's incredibly boring and it's very hard to stay engaged because it's not very engaging. And I think they're used to, you know, having all this entertainment all the time, easy access, right. You know. So yeah, I think that was really fascinating what you said. And I think it matters so much to have people, professors and teachers who really care deeply about the material and want to focus on the learning piece versus getting all the material in. That's wild.
Yeah. And yeah. I think a big part of it is also just knowing that there is something you're working towards. That was like so abstract to me. And that made it so much harder because I didn't, I was just kind of going day by day, and it seemed it's hard to kind of do that if you don't have that end goal in mind, and it has to be very concrete. And so like my days today, I mean, I'm a lot of days, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're just grinding it out, you know, it's you're working hard, you're just doing the same thing. And sometimes a lot of times things fail, sometimes things go right. But it's not nearly as difficult as I found it when I was in college, just because I know like, oh, I have a very concrete set of goals. You know, we're trying to, you know, get this many users or trying to generate this much revenue. And it's, it just makes it a lot easier to do that day to day. And I think for college students, especially, they don't, and that's kind of somewhat natural. They don't have a concrete goal, but at least visualizing here are three different places I could possibly be. And not only that, also just knowing how much that could change your life. Like one thing that I wish schools did a lot more of was like, really talk about like finances and like how different careers, because a lot of times it's like, especially in big research universities, your professors are all researchers. So that's like the only job that you're really exposed to. But that's such a small slice of the overall, like what actually happens. And there's a huge difference, you know, in terms of like income levels and quality of life between all these jobs. So it's nice. I mean, a lot of college students and including myself are very idealistic, but after a certain time, once you have to really start paying bills and you're trying to buy a house, you know, all those different, you know, all those things make a big difference. I mean, my dad was a physician, and he always wanted me to be a doctor. And I was like, nope, I'm never interested. And so my wife is a doctor now, and a lot of my family members are. But it's crazy now that, like, I had no idea, like, there's huge income gap between physicians and a lot of other things. But I had no, like, zero concept. And I'm sure that's true for a lot of people. That sometimes there's an order of magnitude difference between in terms of quality of life or earning potential between these different jobs. And in the end, you know, people have different value systems and things like that. But at the end of the day, like being able to, you know, cover what you need, like financially to have a certain quality of life and to give you the ability to do whatever you love, like travel or this or that, makes a big difference. And I think that it's never too early to have that conversation.
I completely agree. Yes, you're speaking to my heart. And yeah. Oh, I think the future of work is changing too, drastically over the absolutely. Next. It's projected to change. And I don't know how well we're preparing our students, if I'm being honest, in higher education, at least in the U.S. So it'll be interesting to see in the future where this goes and how students are feeling, you know,
yeah.
in the next few years. But.
Yeah, I try to keep my pulse. I mean, you know, when we're hiring people, you know, sometimes we have, you know, our employees are a little bit outside of college, but, you know, we've hired people for like internships and stuff who are kind of closer, like out of college and or in college. And I try to keep a pulse on like, you know, what students are looking for these days, or, you know, what are the younger generation, like what do they value? And it's interesting. There's a lot of, I feel like sometimes unfair characterization. I mean, there's definitely some, you know, I've seen some element of wanting all these things, like having all these expectations very early on in a career where, you know, kind of years ago, you're expected to just kind of grind on for years and years and kind of climb up the ladder. And you know, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of unfair characterization, because what I like about the new generation is they're very cognizant of, you know, not just, you know, how much money they make or like what's the prestige of the position, but like what kind of impact they're going to make on the world. And, you know, yeah, it may be a little idealistic, but I like that. I want people to be hopeful and to want to make a difference in the world. And so I see that a lot in the young people, because they know, I feel like, you know, without getting too much into politics, but a lot of the social contracts that we had with our younger generation have been kind of broken. And the new generation, having survived a recession or going through recession in the past, they know that a job may not be waiting for them. And so they have to find fulfillment in other ways. And so that's kind of important. And so that's kind of structured how we kind of operate our company too, in terms of like hiring and stuff, is because we don't just, you know, we try to set like certain expectations that we're not just, you know, trying to make this much money, but also here are our goals. Like here's our kind of true north in terms of, you know, we always want to serve the student, you know, making sure that we're kind of morally, you know, going in the right direction and things like that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's so important in our world today. And we need more people to do that work, you know, to really actually be hopeful and say, okay, maybe I can make a difference in this world before I leave it. Like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Chipper. So how and why did you create this app? What is it? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chipper is a organizer time management system for mostly college students. We also have some high school students using it and grad students. I like to describe it as a combination of a to-do list and a calendar. And the reason that's important is because oftentimes if you use a calendar, it's easy to put something, especially an online calendar, it's easy to put like an event in your calendar. But what you're missing is a way to check it off, to say, I did this. And we think the simple checkbox makes a huge difference in terms of satisfaction, in terms of not missing things that you need to do. The other thing that's unique about Chipper is that we've added a level of gamification. And so what that means is students can, as they complete tasks, they earn virtual dollars. And although it's not real money, it actually represents real money because we looked at the research around lifetime earnings and the difference between getting a degree and getting good grades and things like that, and built that into the app. And we kind of built it on a almost like minute by minute level, so that if you spend 30 minutes of time on an assignment, that's actually worth like money, and a non-trivial amount of money. And so you get little reminders that, hey, you just increase your lifetime earning potential by $50, $100, $200 by just, you know, spending 30 minutes, you know, preparing for this exam, or 45 minutes, you know, working on a paper. And so, so we try to, and the reason we do this is to let you know that you're working hard now so that you can earn rewards later, and to also kind of use kind of the psychology of, like, you know, the little pats on the back and building the good positive habits by getting positive reinforcement. And so a lot of the tricks that apps use to kind of to get you hooked on the app, we're using that in a positive way to get you to get more, be more organized and things like that. The other thing we're working on is also adding a coaching feature to Chipper. So the core app of Chipper is free, free for anyone to use. But there will be a paid coaching service to help and specifically target at people who are tackling very ambitious goals. Think someone who's trying to get like a high-paying technology job, someone who's trying to get into med school or a competitive law school, and really building not just coaching, but like a mentorship network around that as well. And so those people who are trying to really go a step above, we're going to provide them additional support.
I think that's a really cool feature. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So how have you seen students use this so far? Like, what kind of feedback have you gotten from students?
The feedback has been really, really, really great. It's funny because I feel like I'm definitely the toughest critic of our own product, because I'm like, man, there's so much we have to do. It's still our early days and we're just getting started. What's really unique that we're launching, hopefully like in a week or so, maybe by this time this podcast goes live, is we'll be able to pre-populate course information at different schools. So we're starting at five different schools. And what will happen is, so right now with Chipper, you add in your classes, your assignments on your own. But what we can do now is we can automatically pull in course information from select schools. And you can just type in the course code, tap that, and we'll automatically add when your classes meet. And then for assignments, we're basically crowdsourcing it. So you can say anybody in your class, if anybody in your class adds, like, say, the quiz that's coming up next week, you'll get a little alert that says, okay, do you want to add this quiz to your schedule? And that way, what we're hoping is aggregating all that information and just making it easier for you to get organized and not have to put in that effort to kind of manually add everything yourself. So we're starting at five schools this semester. And if things go well, we want to add it to a bunch of schools in the future.
Wow, that's awesome. I think that that's going to change the game, because sometimes I think when I talk about time management with students, sometimes they're like, oh, I need to like write all my assignments down and do all these things. And they don't necessarily see the benefit on the front end.
Right.
Kind of like what you're saying with the gamification even. But I'm like, just invest, 2 hours to set yourself up, whether it be like on a calendar online, on your phone, on and paper. Like, I'm like, I don't care. Figure out what works for you. Let's figure this out together. But like, at least try some different things, try some different ways. And I know right now a lot of students don't really want to carry a planner because they keep forgetting it. And I hear that a lot with students. And so if it's easy access on their phone, but it's not just like this, like a calendar that, like you said, just has the dates on it, because then you kind of have to look ahead too, and you really need that to-do list as well. So I really love like this mold together. But yeah, I think that's awesome that you can input their courses in and have that match, that is going to change the game, because students can already have it up and they're like, oh wow, this is so easy and seamless.
Yeah, absolutely. We just want to make students' lives easier. And it's definitely, there's kind of the hurdle initially of entering that information. So right now it's kind of the more motivated student that is already maybe using some other organizing app or paper planner that's looking for a better tool. But what we're hoping is once we make it more and more automated, we'll get people who wouldn't normally be as organized. But now if we make it, we lower the barriers, we get more and more people in there.
Right. That's awesome. I think that's great. So what would you tell a student who is struggling with, say, time management or is not feeling as productive as they need or want to be?
Organizing your time in whatever way, whether you use Chipper or paper or Google Calendar or whatever, I think is an absolute must. And I think, but part of that process before you even do that is trying to figure out, like, what are you trying to, like, what's your goal now? And your goal can and will change, say if you're a freshman, sophomore, and that's totally okay. But I think understanding, like, where you're trying to get to as of right now will help you figure out what your day and week looks like. Because what an important thing that we built into Chipper is ability, and we heard this early on, before we even started building the app, we interviewed a ton of college students. And we heard over and over where students are like, you know, a lot of these apps, like I can add my courses, or if you're using, like, say, your Canvas calendar or something like that, you have some of your course stuff, but students are a lot more than just, you know, they have more going on than just school, right? You have life commitments, you might have work commitments. And so what we built into Chipper is the ability to add not just school stuff, but all the non-school stuff you have to do. So your work, whether you're, you know, going to the gym or meeting a friend for lunch or whatever, you can also add that in as well. And I think once you have those, the end goal, where you're working towards, that really helps plan your day to day, because I think it's really important for students to do more than just, like, the, you know, studying for that next exam or, you know, working on that assignment, because really I feel like college, you know, maybe half the value is that stuff. I mean, the really unique thing about college, and something that I totally, totally did not take advantage of, is this is one of the few times in your life where the stakes are a lot lower and you're surrounded by super smart people and the most diverse group of people who are doing so many different things. You can lean on them and really, you know, learn from them. So, and it doesn't even have to be professors. It can be other students. So somebody is going to be in a drama club, and you never knew that you had that you would love that, but you can try that out. So you should add that to your schedule. You should make a note, like, hey, sometime this semester, I want to attend this thing, or, you know, there's a entrepreneurship club, or there's this Nobel Prize winning economist is giving a lecture. I should go see that. And maybe they'll teach me about, something I didn't know about. And there's all these incredible resources, but you won't get to do all these things if you don't really plan around it. And it's easy to get caught up in those other things, and you don't want to let your grades fall or anything, but you can do all these things and still have a balanced and active life. But if you just have to be somewhat meticulous about planning it. And it's what we've seen, it's very okay. And it's almost expected you should sort of fall behind on things. It's just how you rebound from that really matters. So, and knowing when to let things go, some things don't get done, and that's just life. I've seen both professionally, but also, like, personally, I've seen friends and family members, like, struggle with, like, getting obsessed with something that they were supposed to do, and then, fixated on that, when sometimes you gotta let it go and just, okay, I'm going to work on this next thing. Okay, that last assignment, I didn't do my best. I fell behind. Okay, but this next one, let me get that right. Let me do well. So I think, you know, setting that end goal and then kind of working backwards and then planning your semester level goals, and then that'll help you plan your day by day goals. I think that's a really important.
Yeah, I literally just did a podcast about how to design your college experience that you would, like, love. And that's exactly what I said too. It's like, okay, you have to plan ahead, or you have to think of, like, what do you want to do whenever you, not even what do you want to do, but who do you want to be? What kind of skills do you want to learn? What, like, how do you want to feel when you graduate? Like, those kinds of things. Like, I knew, I gave the example of whenever I'm working on my PhD. And so whenever I finish my PhD, my goal would be that I feel confident in my research. I feel confident that I'm able to critically think about different topics and look at a research study and take away what I can from it and be critical of it as well. So, like, I want to feel confident in that. And I think a lot of the students that I work with, they also want to feel confident in not even just, like, what they're learning, but really just, like, who they are. And so, thinking about it like that, and then working towards a goal but being totally okay and actually expecting that it might change. And anyway, that's so good. And I think too, like you kind of alluded to this, but I feel like all those other things are so much more important, like your network and your social life and learning and just learning how to learn and learning how to work towards a goal. Mm-hmm. But this like time management piece and this productivity piece, like you really can't maximize all those other things unless you have that. Like that is foundational. And I work with students who are typically on academic probation and who sometimes struggled their first semester or like consistently throughout college. And that's the one thing I'm like, we need to talk about this first, because if you don't have this, like none of the other stuff, like how you study, when you study, that's going to be really challenging if you're not really sure how to manage your time.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it's so foundational. So what is one thing that you wish every student knew about your app? Like if you could tell every student.
I think about our app, we're really trying to differentiate ourselves. So the biggest thing is we want to show that our app is different today and will be way different than anything else in the next couple weeks and months. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, when we started approaching this, you know, when we were thinking about, okay, should we build Chipper? I mean, it was a little intimidating because there's hundreds of calendars and organizers and to-do lists and things like that. But what we found a couple things. One is the students' needs are a lot different. And a fundamental like belief about just products in general is if you can always build a better product the more focused you get and more targeted at a specific audience. So we thought, okay, yes, there are 9 million to-do list apps, but there's some unique things that students need. And it can be something as simple as color coding. So we know that students take different courses and we color code the different courses. And it's just a little thing. Students love it. They're like, oh, I love being able to see like, okay, I can just look at my schedule and see I have these in blue and these in green, and it helps me visualize what I have to do each day. And with to-do list apps, sometimes you can color code and stuff like that, but being able to do it by course is something, you know, unique to students. And so so that's one way we're differentiating ourselves with other to-do list apps. With calendars, again, it's the simple checkbox, the gamification. I mean, we even thought like early on, I was like, you know, should we maybe just integrate with Google Calendar and just try to put everything in Google Calendar? But fundamentally, to me, the checkbox was a deal breaker. Not being able to check things off is, it wouldn't work for us. And so and that was the right decision because students are like, man, the satisfaction I feel at the end of the day, just checking everything off is great. And it helps build those positive habits. And then once we're embarking on this, this journey of aggregating course data, which doesn't really exist. I mean, a lot of people may not know, but, you know, you think, oh, this is just in our learning management system, this is in our Canvas or in a Blackboard. Turns out that's not the case. That's like kind of the minority case where that that information is 100% in there. So we'll be, I think, you know, probably the first to uniquely get this across a wide variety of campuses, get all this course information, so students have this built in. And then once we add in the coaching service as well, I think that although there are separate coaching apps out there, the idea of fusing a planner with coaching is unique. And I think so critical, because one issue that we see with a lot of career coaching is students, when do people start looking for that? It's like, oh, I'm about to graduate, I need to get a job. But in a way, that's kind of the worst time to really do anything. Cause what can you do at that point? Like, yes, I can help you write your, you know, re-edit your resume, or I can help you, you know, figure out how to get a recommendation or something like that. But the best time was much earlier in your career, right? When you're trying to figure out like which internship will maximize your chance of, where you get shown the most experience and help you get a job after you graduate, getting those recommendations. Like that's something that you should, another mistake that I have learned personally is like, I started way too late. And like, if you try to go to a coach, they'll help you do that. But like, we capture students much earlier in the process. So we'll have a lot of freshmen, sophomores who want to get organized for the day-to-day coursework. And we can gently nudge them and be like, hey, now's not too early to start thinking about an internship, and even give them, okay, here's some, based on your profile, here are some potential things. And how we visualize the coaching service is that we can integrate all these services and say like job listings, but also have a kind of a mentor network and coaching all built in into one sort of holistic package, and have that early on. So rather than it being kind of this short engagement, we want to have this kind of long engagement over a long period of time. So it's kind of built into your kind of your academic career.
Yeah, that's awesome. And students want it to be easy and seamless and all in the same place. So I think you're onto something for sure. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap up. So I just have one last question, and then I'd love for you to kind of share where people can find you. But if you could give one tip or thing or something that you wish you would have known when you were in college, what would it be?
Oh, I'd have to tell my college self like 900 things.
That guy was a mess.
But really, I think it goes back to like, you can do a lot more than you expect. And, you know, I feel like I'm really proud of what I've accomplished so far. I have a long ways to go, but I would have never thought like, you know, 10 years ago that I could have made it this far. I actually got the start. I didn't get into this, but like before Chipper, so Chipper got its start because we built a tool called CramFighter, which is a time management tool specifically for med students. And that's kind of our money generating business right now as we're working on Chipper. Mm-hmm. And now a quarter of second year medical students in the country are customers. And if you told me that when I started, I thought, no way, like I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. And you know, it's something, but it's like just believing you can. And I feel like I'm still working on this to this day. I'm turning 40 next year, and I still like surprise myself. But I think that's within all of us, where you can really, really just try things that are slightly out of your reach. And that's why I'm a big believer in failing, and failing gracefully, because I fail all the time. And that's really why I've been able to see some successes, that I've been willing to fail and get out of my comfort zone. In fact, it's been such a part of my day to day, is I start getting uncomfortable if I'm not feeling uncomfortable doing something. Like if I've been too comfortable for too long, then I'm like, yeah, something's not right. And in fact, that's kind of what motivated Chipper, is like we were working on this other product and it was growing and growing, but you know, starting to hit a ceiling, and I thought like, this is getting too comfortable. And I could easily be like, you know what, we're just going to keep doing this thing. And, you know, I can live comfortably, and we've got a profitable business, and I don't even have to do much work. I mean, and it sounds great, but you know, for me, I'm always thinking like, what's next? You know, how can I challenge myself? And that's when I'm like, okay, let's do something new. Let's jump into the super crowded market and build something from scratch. And so that's what we're trying to do. And I think that's what I recommend to everyone is, you know, really fail a few times, do something ambitious, and just through that pain, you'll learn a little bit about yourself and learn how much more you can actually accomplish.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so where can people find you? How can people get this app if they want it?
Yeah, so our website's getchipper.com, and they can also search for Chipper on the App Store and Play Store. The apps are completely free, so I recommend people download them, check them out, and always, we're huge on people, on feedback. We love negative feedback, positive feedback, whatever thoughts you have, you can contact us within the app, and we'd love to hear what you think. But yeah, it's, you know, it's very early, and there's so many great things that we're building in over the next semester or two. I'm really excited. So as I mentioned, this next week or so for the fall semester, we're launching the built-in course information at these five schools, which we'll be expanding. We're aiming in the spring semester to have the coaching service as well. And we're actually in the fall, we're going to be hand selecting a few people that were going to offer it for free as a trial run. So we're going to see, see how that goes. So yeah, so please check it out.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story. I'm really excited, and go download the app if you're listening to this.
Yes. Awesome. And thanks for having me, and thanks for doing what you do. I think this is a great resource for students.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. You know that I love you all, but in case you need a reminder, here it is. I love you all so much. Please make sure that you go and download that Chipper app if you are looking for something to really crush your goals, really manage your time better, and get better at organization. This is a tool that you can use. Go out and get it. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you share it with a friend. That's really the best way to get this podcast out. And I love you all. Have an excellent week.